And those two things are things that really ought to mark a part of our lives that gives us a reason for rejoicing and a reason to get ready for some things that are in the far distant future. Two things are coming to pass. If it should be an I whipped this together pretty quick. If I knew that two things had to happen before the Lord Jesus Christ came to take me to heaven and what we call the rapture, I would certainly be looking for them to be on the verge of happening. There are a lot of people, I would say probably about 90% of the Missionary Baptist preachers I know will tell you unflinchingly and without hesitation, Paul believed Jesus could come at any time. Well, I'm sorry, but that just isn't true. And quite frankly, it gives people a falsetto impression of the rapture, because those fellows that do that are first of the weakest. And quite frankly, I don't know any other way to put it except that isn't true. And that's one reason I'm going through this 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Well, I would certainly be looking for them to be on the verge of happening before I started telling people the rapture was not in the far distant future. I don't think the rapture is too far away. I don't believe it's in the far distant future. And quite frankly, I am more optimistic that it's going to occur very soon than Paul was. Not because I know more than Paul. Paul knew a lot more than I did. And Paul taught me something from the scriptures about the rapture. And I think he taught it quite emphatically. The two things in the following verse are not completed. They are not completed. But they are a whole lot closer to completion than when the Apostle Paul wrote this. But world events indicate they soon will be. Now, these two things, Paul said, had to happen before the Lord would come. And first of the weaker swear up and down, Paul believed it could occur at any minute. Knowing I must answer at the judgment seat of Christ, I tell you, that just is not true at all. It's completely false. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, he says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, referring to the rapture specifically, shall not come except. Now, he mentions two things that have to happen before the rapture occurs. Except there come a falling away first, that has to occur. Well, that hadn't happened in Paul's day at all. And that man of sin be revealed, the Antichrist. That hadn't happened in Paul's day. So he said, if somebody comes around telling you that the Lord's coming right away, or even worse, that he's already come and there were people doing that, he said, do not believe them. The son of perdition. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. That's the first thing that had to happen. And that man of sin, the Antichrist, be revealed, the son of perdition. Neither one of those has happened. The first one is getting close to being completed. First, there had to be a falling away. And there hadn't been in Paul's day. Couldn't have been in Paul's day. It would have been ridiculous and impossible. And I'll show you why. Second, the falling away will reach its climax when the Antichrist is revealed. First, the weaker swear you'll never see the Antichrist. He'll never be manifested to you. You'll be raptured out, then all of a sudden he'll show up. That isn't true. It absolutely, positively isn't true. And for years, I just kind of played with that and just never said much about it because I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings or make anybody mad. But I'm not going to do that anymore because, quite frankly, this is something that's so important. I think everybody ought to at least have an understanding of it. And I'm giving you the scriptures, and I'm showing you precisely what I believe and why. In exposition of 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12, He says, for the mischief of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, and he'll be taken out of the way. That's the first page on every sheet. And I told you that I was going to put that on here each night, and that we would finally get down to the scripture, and I would show you precisely who I believe this he that let will be taken out of the way, who he is, and what it means when it says he'll let. We covered this sheet completely. On the first Wednesday night, I started doing this. And now, we're going to continue in the next verse. Please review part one before reading this continuing exposition of 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12. Well, you were here when I covered verse 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. Now, he has to be referring to the rapture because the context above it, it's talking about the verses before it, are talking about the rapture and what we call the first resurrection, the coming of the Lord. That day shall not come, and then he tells you two things that have to happen. Paul did not believe he was coming right away, as you'll see. Except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, completely exposed, open, the son of perdition. At times in the New Testament, the expression that day has a very wide variety of prophetic time periods. It doesn't always just mean the rapture. Sometimes it means the whole millennial reign. Sometimes it means the whole tribulation period. That day refers to a lot of different things in prophecy. At times in the New Testament, the expression that day has a wide variety of prophetic time periods, which are determined by the context of the verses in which it is found. In these verses, the context determines that day to mean specifically the day of the rapture. The reason that's true, if you'll look back in the chapter above it, in 2 Thessalonians, if you'll go back and look at those verses, you'll discover he has to be talking about the rapture. In these verses, the context determines that day to mean specifically the day of the rapture. Now notice what Paul does. Remember, he's writing this, and he's writing this probably in around 62 A.D. He's writing to the church at Thessalonica about 62 A.D. By that time, the church has spread up into Greece, into Turkey, and into Rome. That's it. Over to Cyprus, up to what we call Syria today, across to the Isle of Cyprus, across up into Turkey, across into Greece, and across into Rome. That was the furthest extent of the church at that time. That's important. That's very important. Because we're not talking about the time of the great falling away. Why, the preaching of the gospel to the whole world hadn't even started. And Paul says, that day can't come till that happens. It had to be a long way off. And Paul knew that. Paul advises the local church that those who are telling them that the rapture has already occurred, and there were people doing that, or is about to happen in the immediate future, are misinforming them. How does he know they're misinforming? Well, the falling away, the gospel hadn't even spread out of Europe. And the falling away could not have come at that time. And the Antichrist sure wasn't revealed. And so Paul said, no, don't believe anybody that comes and tells you that the Lord has already come, and there were two fellows that were doing that already, which I'll show you later. And don't believe that he's coming right away. Don't believe that. So back then, they didn't think the Lord was coming right away. Neither did Paul. Yet preachers swear up and down that, yep, Paul believed that, and all the church members believed it. No, they did not. And he then gives them two reasons why what they have been told by these men is simply not true. The first reason is that the great falling away, that day shall not come except they're coming to falling away first. The first reason that what I've told you is true and what 90% of the preachers in our work teach is wrong. The first reason that the great falling away had not occurred at the time he wrote the epistle. The first reason is that the great falling away had not occurred at the time he wrote the epistle. He said, no, the Lord's not coming right away, and he hasn't already come. The first reason that the great falling away had not occurred at the time he wrote the epistle, and until it did, no one could say the coming of the Lord was going to happen right away. They couldn't say that. If they said it, they were wrong. And Paul said, don't believe them. Now, look at this for yourself. I'm not trying to overpersuade you. You all have minds and you can think better, some of you, than I can, much better. So that's the truth that I told you. That's exactly the way it was. And Paul knew that the Lord wasn't coming right away. The Greek word translated falling away is apostasia, from which our English word apostasy is derived. You know what an apostate is? He's somebody that's in the true church. He believes in salvation by grace, secure the believer, baptism by immersion, by the authority of the local church. The Lord's Supper is the closed ordinance of the church is local and visible. But he wants something better, or something more, or something different. And so he leaves, falls away from the truth, and goes into a false church. That thing hadn't started yet, because false churches weren't scattered around like they are now. And Paul knew that that had to occur first, and it had not happened. In the context of these verses, it is preceded by the definite article in the Greek text and can only refer to the falling away from something. Let me tell you what First of the Week has came up with about, it might have been as early as 20 years ago, probably more like 15. I can't believe they are so linguistically dishonest, because some of them know the language, and I cannot understand how they could be so linguistically lie to themselves. You say, well, that's an awful accusation. They have to do it. They say this apostasy, which has been taught, just like I told you, falling away from the faith from the very beginning, all the way back. Well, about 15, 20 years ago, one of them came up with a brilliant idea. That means a catching away from the earth. That means a catching away from the earth. I bow before God, stand before man, knowing I must answer to Jesus. That is the biggest bunch of bull that ever came down the pike. And it didn't come into existence until at the very latest, 20 years ago. And they claim that that's the falling away. The rapture has to occur first, they say. And they came up and made that word for apostasy, a catching away from the earth. In the context, that is absolutely ridiculous, and it was never taught prior to 20 years ago. And that something represents the gospel truths of the faith once delivered to the saints. In the context of these verses, it is preceded by the definite article in the Greek text and can only refer to the falling away from something. And that something represents the gospel truths of the faith once delivered to the saints. That's what they taught in the first New Testament churches. That's what they taught in the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th centuries. And all of a sudden, that's the first position, the position came out. At the very earliest, 1840, and it didn't really come out then, it was a mid-trib position. Then, finally, in this last century, 20th century, somebody came up with this idea. It meant a catching out, a falling away from the earth. It doesn't mean a catching out from the earth. It means a falling away from something. And it means a falling away from the truth. And this is what they were falling away from. Now, certainly, by the time Jude wrote his epistle, which was one of the latter epistles, there was a falling away that was beginning. But that was just the beginning of it. There had to come a massive falling away from the faith. And Jude began to write about it toward the very end of the first century church age. He said, Jude 1:3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, test piston, a system of teaching and doctrine, which we teach in this church, which was once delivered to the saints. This thing had to, the gospel had to spread all over the earth. And then after the gospel had spread all over the earth, then this apostasy would increase. But Paul knew that the church was still, the gospel was still spreading. And he didn't know the earth was still going to be here, and we were going to be here in Darnell, Arkansas in 2005. I don't know how long he thought it would take for the gospel to spread around and the apostasy to start, but he sure didn't believe it had occurred in his day. But that's what it's talking about from. Well, now, people say to me, as your brother McMurray, you're a time setter. Why, you claim that now you can say that you think the Lord's coming right away. I certainly hope so. Because the apostasy, if you can't see it with your own eyes, if you can't see these churches all around us here that teach the wrong thing about security, about baptism, about the Lord's Supper, if you can't see that all over the United States, if you can't see what the original faith once delivered to the saints has been watered down to, changed, blasphemously changed, then you don't know what apostasy is. So now, I'm in a much better position to finally say, well, I don't know when the rapture is going to occur exactly, but I guarantee you the apostasy has been going on for some time. And pretty soon, it's going to be up to here with God, and Jesus is going to come. But you have to have a battle first. You have to have a war first. At the time Paul wrote 2 Thessalonians, he knew the rapture was not in the immediate future. Now I'm putting that in print, and if you see the Lord pull this out, the judgment seat of Christ, and say, Tom, you shouldn't have taught that, I'll just have to take my lumps. But I tell you without any hesitation, at the time Paul wrote 2 Thessalonians, he knew the rapture was not in the immediate future. Why? Because the faith had not been delivered by the gospel to all the world in his day. He didn't even know there were Indians over here. He didn't know there was a North American, South American continent. He didn't know Columbus was going to sail the ocean blue in 1492. But he knew that when he wrote this church to the members of the church at Thessalonica, he knew full well that that gospel had a long way to spread. He knew there were people up in the land of Gog and Magog across Russia. He knew there were people all the way across to India. He knew there were people all the way down through Africa. He knew there was a whole European continent. He knew about England. He knew the known world of that day. And he knew that it hadn't spread in those areas. And he knew that when it spread into a new area, after it built up, then the falling away would occur. So if you tell me that Paul believed in the imminent coming of Christ, I'm sorry, I just cannot agree with you. Look at this verse. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. Well, what advantage do I have over Paul? Well, certainly none intellectually. And I wish I could just talk to Paul for a few minutes. Well, I wish I could talk to him for 6 months. I'd probably have to change most of my theology, but maybe not as much as some of the others. But that's kind of wishful thinking, and I'm not sure the Lord approves of that. But I do have one advantage over him. I know how big the world is now, and I know that this gospel has been preached from one end of it to the other. So here's my advantage. Paul told him, he said, don't believe them if they say it's already coming. Don't believe them if it's coming right away. But he didn't say that the day wouldn't come to where when you saw the apostasy, when you saw it reaching its zenith, and when the Antichrist revealed himself, then you could know. But a lot of preachers say, oh, that's time-setting. It's not time-setting. It's nothing but cheap, petty jealousy. The faith, a system of teaching and doctrine, had to first be in place in order to have a falling away from it. In an attempt to justify the first-to-weak position, in very recent times, someone came up with the idea that apostasia meant a catching out of the saved at the rapture. But that is stretching the linguistic meaning of the word far beyond allowable limits. It's a cute idea, but it just isn't true. Well, I would say it is finally getting close to the first resurrection. That means a lot to me. It means a lot to me because I'm old. I'm tired. I have to struggle just to walk. It means a lot to that for me. But I'm tired of trying to hold the truth together with baling wire and my own limited abilities. And I'm tired of the stress and the strain and the agony that a man goes through when he's trying to do God's word and his whole internal system is literally destroyed by the constant stress and strain of being a pastor. If you think it's easy, you got another thought coming. Well, I would say it is finally getting close to the first resurrection, because the falling away from the truth is now in full swing on a worldwide basis. And I realize this sounds terrible, but I'm thankful it is, because the Lord said it would. And that lets me know, Tom, if you die tonight, it'll be great for you. And it would be. But just hang on a little while. Put up with whatever you've got to put up with. And it won't be long. If I thought the rapture was a long way off in the future, or that I was going to live for a long time and be a pastor, what a thing to look forward to. But I don't have much time to look forward to life or to being pastor of this church. Well, I would say it is finally getting close to the first resurrection because the falling away from the truth is now in full swing on a worldwide basis, just as Paul indicated in his second epistle to Timothy. In 2 Timothy, here's what he wrote to Timothy, verses 4, 1 through 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Here's what I have tried to do in my own immature way. These years I've been here, starting out knowing nothing, now knowing I don't know anything, but knowing a whole lot more than when I first started. Here's what I was called to do. Preach the word. Be in season, be instant in season, out of season. Do it all the time, anytime. Reprove. People don't like to be reproved. Rebuke. People don't like to be rebuked. Exhort. People don't like that either. With all long-suffering and doctrine. Long-suffering and doctrine. That means on the part of the man who does it. I realize that human beings can only take so much because I'm very human. Now, I remember when I was sitting out there where you're sitting, and the pastor would hammer and hammer and hammer and hammer, and I would get so tired of sitting out there and feeling guilty that I would find ways to work around it. And whenever a visiting preacher showed up, I had great relief because I knew, because he was visiting and wanted to make a good impression, he wasn't going to reprove me, rebuke me, or exhort me. Now, here is the great falling away. For the time will come when they will endure sound doctrine. Will not endure sound doctrine. Doctrine, 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 doctrine. That's all I want to hear. End time prophecy, Jesus is coming. The Antichrist is going to show up. No, we don't want to hear any more of that. But the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, their own desire, what pleases them, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. What is the only way that you can be sure whether what you're being taught is the truth or fable? You say, well, I think I'm perfectly qualified to judge that. Well, you are. But let me tell you a surefire way. Teach and preach this. Teach and preach this. Right here. This book. And you won't have to worry about whether what you're being taught is true or made up of human ingenuity. Because you can be turned to fables and not even understand that it's a fable designed, approved, composed, and put out by man. The second reason he gave them that the rapture had not yet occurred and was not in the immediate future was that the man of sin, the Antichrist, had not yet been revealed to them. The Greek word rendered revealed in the King James Version is apocalypto. Apocalypto. Here's exactly what it means. To remove. When he said revealed, apocalypto, it means to reveal the veil or covering away from so as to expose to open view what was being hidden, hence to reveal, to make manifest. More than half of the missionary Baptist preachers in our work teach that the saved will never see the Antichrist. They assured him that he could come at any moment. Well, now, I guess he can, because the apostasia is in force. But they say, don't worry. You're never going to be around when he comes. Do you like that idea, Paul? It's a pretty good idea, isn't it? You don't want to see that booger, do you? You know what that is? Tickling his ears. Telling him exactly what he wants to hear. That's why it's so popular. It's a fable. It's a fable. You say, well, you shouldn't say it. It is a fable. What do you want me to do? Act like it's okay? I've done that for a long time. It's not okay. It's a fable. You want to see Aesop's fable? Go down and buy you some of these books. There's plenty of them about the catching out series. What do they call them? Left Behind? These people have made multi-millions on those books. And they're nothing but fables. The same word is used in the same epistle to refer to Christ's visible manifestation at the time of his second event. So when Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, which is where we are, used this word, apocalypto, translated it revealed, the same word appears right here in the same epistle by the same man, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8. And to you who are troubled west with us, when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, you say, well, that doesn't mean they'll see. All missionary Baptist preachers teach that means they see him. So how can the word have two different meanings? Until we see the Antichrist, until children of God can look and say, that man is the Antichrist, you're not going to have a rapture and a catching out. And Paul knew that. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 1 and 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. What this really boils down to, and what separates those that love God from those who are playing a game with God, is whether or not you want to know what God's word says, and you want to understand it, and it means something to you. A lot of people want the church to turn into something that God never meant it to be. It is an institution and a pillar and ground of the truth. And if you don't love the truth, I guarantee you, you won't continue in God's word, because God's word is truth, and we ought to be able to take it, lump it, and grow from it. Some who hold the first of the week position teach we will be caught out before the Antichrist is revealed to the believers. But that is simply not true. I have a suspicion that many who believe they will be caught up before the manifestation of the Antichrist are going to be as surprised as an animal suddenly finding itself trapped inside a snare. They will suddenly find themselves trapped in the tribulation period with a real manifested Antichrist in the Middle East. That's why in Luke 21:35, he used the word all. Luke 21:35. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. More than 80% of missionary Baptists are convinced that the rapture is going to occur at the first of the week. That is a fable. It isn't true. And all of a sudden, they're going to be caught in a snare. And the snare is the tribulation period. They're going to be right in the middle of it. And they're going to be thoroughly and utterly confused, because they are convinced, because their preachers taught them, because the preachers before them taught them, and the preachers before them taught them. And now it's so cemented in our work, if you don't believe it, you're a heretic. But it's a fable. Revelation 12:17. Now, take a look at Revelation 12:17. Because this is at the very end of the tribulation period. They say we're all going to be whisked out of here and caught up to heaven. But this is the very absolute end of the tribulation period. And the dragon was wroth with a woman, Israel, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That sounds to me like a bunch of people that testified of Christ correctly as the Savior. Sounds to me like a bunch of people that believed in securing the believer. Sounds to me like a bunch of people that believed in baptism by immersion by the authority of the church. Sounds to me like a bunch of people that practiced close communion because those were the commandments of God. Paul said we should keep them as they were delivered to us. It's not fun. There's not a lot of great joy in it. And if a pastor stands up on both feet and does all he can to get a church to understand that that's what true love is, that's what it's all about. It's not whether you like what a man preaches. It's whether or not he preaches the truth. If he doesn't preach the truth, he doesn't care for you at all. Now, this is coming down to the end. And this is what we try to do here. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. We're certainly not the most popular church in town. We're the only church in town that teaches baptism by immersion by the authority of the local church. Did you know that? We're the only church in town that believes the church is local and visible. Did you know that? We're the only church in town that preaches closed communion. Did you know that? How many people have left this church and gone to other churches that didn't believe that? Do you know why they went? Maybe because they didn't like my preaching. Well, this is what I preach. This is what I teach. This is what I believe. I would much rather please God than please man. Brother Kenneth Eubanks, would you dismiss us?